I want to be very practical tonight, and from the most familiar verse in all of the scripture, and most of you would think of it if you just for a moment, but John 3:16. And I'm thinking about fathers, and as Eugene brought out, and that they're never perfect in their example. They're never perfect in the way they live before us, as much as they try. But as we look at this most familiar verse, and it specifically speaks of the love of God, of course, and sharing the gospel through his son, Jesus Christ. But I want to see tonight in application what love does. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. You don't even need to look at it, do you? They gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think about a little girl that wants her dad to know that she loves him, and she'll say, Daddy, I love you so much. Much like she'll say 20 years later to that person she's going to marry, I love you so much. And that's what God does, for God so loved the world. We could safely say that God knows a few things about love, because 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says God is love. And so this message goes to all, not just dads, not just men, to all of us, but we see the fact that God loves us, and I want us to see what it does. First of all, love produces action. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's love didn't sit idle. It didn't just flutter there. Instead, it went and it did something. In Romans 5, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was action. Two boys playing on a playground at Bethany Middle School, or Bethany Primary School, which is where I went for the first few years of my life. And these boys would jump. There were some tractor tires that were cemented into the playground, and you would jump over them, that same tractor tire that my brother got pushed off of and dislocated his shoulder. But they would say they could jump over those. And what does one do when they think that they can do better than the other? Oh, you think you can? Then prove it. And that's the way young people, kids, boys especially, will say to challenge somebody, prove it. I don't believe it. Well, God proved it. He demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I read of a story of a little 10-year-old girl, Riley, and she was looking, her and her mom, at a computer for some bikes for her dad, because I think it was Christmas or her birthday. One or the other was coming up. I can't remember this whole, so it was Christmas. And they scrolled down, and there was this advertisement on the bike rack. It was in a town where they live, St. Charles, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And this shop had special bikes that were for people who had physical limitations, and they were specially made. And Riley said, I'm going to buy one of those bikes. And her mom thought, that's quite a lofty goal. I think they were $3,000 or $4,000 a piece. And she started sending letters to her grandparents and to her friends and to her family members, and told them what they were going to do. And it was Christmas time. And as Christmas neared, she didn't buy one, she didn't buy two, but she helped deliver three of the bikes out of the seven that she paid for, with all of her family, of course. She wanted to do something so bad that she was going to prove that she loved or liked or wanted to help these people. Her heart was moved to action. So if you're a father, a mother, anybody else, as we have the opportunity to interact with people, can I challenge you on something, or caution you rather on something? You know, it's so easy to love people in theory, but not in truth. I know I'm supposed to be nice to you and 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 everybody else in here. I know I'm supposed to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I'm supposed to be gracious to Kyle and helpful to Elijah and hospitable to Troy and be forgiving to whoever. But it's easy to know these things in theory. But did you ever notice that life has shoes on, that you're supposed to be walking in it? It's not in a lab or a test tube, or it's not in all of these theories. Life happens and it gets messy. And if we really love people, then we're supposed to let that love produce some actions. Not only does it produce actions, but it also offers help. The Bible says in that verse, famous verse, and I don't want to do any damage to it. Love offers help. Not only does it produce action, because he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, Jesus said. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He offers help to whosoever. Look at this universal offer that God has to give. And I'm thinking of us as Christians, that we might live a life that's so impacted by the love that God has bestowed upon us and in our lives, that we might also offer help to people who are around us. Because what I'm convinced of is that people don't need an academic Christian. They need an actual Christian. They don't need you to be able to tell them all of these verses and truths. They've had enough of that. They need somebody to truly interact with them and offer help. We need to be sharing the truth of what God has done in our lives. And some men of this church have given testimony about what they learned from their fathers. They're trying to pass it on down to them. And may we not be those ones that constantly stay in that attitude of, they should know that already. You've heard that story about that couple that went to marriage counseling, and the lady said to the counselor, says, well, he never tells me that he loves me anymore. He just never says it anymore. And he looks at the man, the counselor does, and says, is that true? He said, I told her I loved her 45 years ago. If it changes, I'll let her know. You understand that that's not very comforting. And you know my testimony. I have a dad that's in heaven, but he was a very stern person. And those words didn't escape his lips very often. But love offers help, and love shares in some of the load. And then love gives what the others need. I'm going to move some things around because I want to share something else with you at the end when Rick comes up. But love gives what others need. Again, I'm not trying to cheapen the gospel. The gospel is all over this verse. He gives, should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the universal offer of salvation. But I give you this as way of application, that love gives what the others need. Because what was our biggest need? Your biggest need was not to clean up and be a better person. Sometimes we get the wrong idea when we hear testimonies of somebody's life. And this is, I was a mess, and I was this, and I was the other. But now I've got something that you can be proud of in life. I'm thankful that God cleaned you up and he made you a respectable person in society. I'm thankful for all of that. But being a respectable member of society is not what you needed. You needed salvation. Salvation is what got you to a spot where you realized what you were actually here for. And because of that, you became a productive member of society, because you realized you weren't here for yourself, but you were here for God's glory and his will. And so what I'm saying from this verse is that we see it applied to us, but we see it illustrated here, that love gives what others need. And what we needed was not a new lease on life, and what we needed was not something to look better at. There's been so many people through self-help things that they do. I can't think of the word, but there's been so many people with self-help projects, and all that they've done is made themselves look better while still on the same destination to a Christless hell. And so what God showed us in this verse was he provided what we needed. We needed salvation. If you could have anything you wanted from God, what would it be? Fame, finances, health, family. I would submit to you that God gave exactly what we needed. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God is love, and his love drove him to give what I needed most. And I needed salvation. So this evening, in this most familiar verses, and I know I've taken it a different direction to apply it in the same way that's not harmful to Scripture, but not the primary interpretation of it. But two questions tonight. Do you know the salvation that this loving God gave to you? And then if you do, are you loving people like God loves you? Are you following his example? I told you I was so thankful for the people who labored today in the car show. But you know what I'm thankful for as well? I'm thankful for the people who labor today on a bus, you were hot out there and you were hot, ready to get in the air conditioning, but people served in our bus ministry, got up early and got in here and we prayed and they went out and got on the bus and brought people in and let them hear the gospel. What was that all about? That was about something that changed your life and gave salvation to you. You simply bringing somebody else in to hear the same old story that changed your life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Father, I pray that you'd help us now. Lord, I pray that the point has been driven home in these few moments that I've had, that real love produces action. And Lord, I pray that you'd help my friends understand that it sounds pretty hollow when we say that we love someone and we do nothing to back that up. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be people who love in word and in deed. Please, I pray, dear Lord, as the ladies find a place and find something to play, and I invite you tonight to come and pray, and if God's spoken to your heart, maybe he's shown you tonight that, yes, you say you love folks, but sometimes those words get a little thin, do they not? I'm going to ask you to come if you want to make your way to the altar and pray about something specific that God is doing in your life, in your heart. Ask the folks next to you just to excuse you and come on. We're not trying to make it easy. We're not trying to make it hard. We're not trying to make it easy. We just would love for the Lord to do a work in your heart. One of the greatest things about the greatest thing about the gospel is it provides salvation. But the application, the wonderful picture is that God saw what we needed and he gave. Maybe there's something so heavy on your heart tonight that you ought not to leave before you pray and give it to the Lord. Would you slip out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in the front. Would love to pray with you if you need somebody to. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved. My friend, I preached that message about God meeting our needs and love that he had producing action, so much action he sent his son to meet our biggest need, salvation. If you're not saved, would you step out and come? One last appeal, and that is this. You can either come to the altar or you can pray right there in your seat. If you've got somebody in your family that's not saved, would you spend the next moments praying for them? Maybe you've dropped off your prayers for them. Or maybe you've been praying fervently. Let's have another season right now. Each of us, please pray the gospel reaches them and they'd respond to it before it's eternally too late. Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. Thank you for this Father's Day. And Lord, thank you for my dad who's now on with you. And Lord, thank you for the fathers that are in this room. I pray that you bless them. Lord, I pray their families would remember that they're certainly not perfect. Lord, we're not you. We fall short so often. But I pray, dear Lord, that you would strengthen every father, every grandfather, every person that plays the role of a father in a niece's or a nephew's life. Help us, dear Lord, to walk close to you so that we could be the example to them that they need us to be. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to call a business meeting to come and share a couple of items.